How many of you believe we're living in the last days? Now, even if we said last days, you know that there is the last days are 7 years of extreme tribulation. First 3.5, not too awfully bad. Bad enough. The last 3.5 years before the coming of Jesus, 1/3 of the population of the earth will die. Close to 2 billion people. 1/3 of the oceans will turn to blood. Ships will be caught in it. You know what happens to blood? Coagulates. It's going to be nasty. 1/3 of the fresh water of the world will turn to poison. So I don't want to be around here at that time. Some years ago, there was a group that rented our church down on the Eastern Shore. They come through from down south someplace. And they were headed to way up in the boondocks of Canada. They were going through the tribulation. So they sold everything they had. People sold their homes, they sold the farms, they sold everything they had. Put it all in one pot. And it belonged to everybody then. And so they had bought a farm outside of Burrsville and were practicing getting ready to go through the tribulation. Grow their own food and, you know. They had bought a place up in Canada and eventually moved up there. They're going through the tribulation. Help yourselves. Go through it if you want to. I'm not sticking around. The things we are seeing happening are telling us we're getting close. We're getting very close. And so the key is to be ready. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, next Sunday, the Sunday following. Are you ready? My text is from Matthew 24:44. Therefore you also be ready. These are the words of Jesus. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming. And in an hour you do not expect. Who's he talking to? His disciples. He's not talking to the world. And so he is saying to his disciples, you be ready. Because even you, as my disciples, will not be expecting me when I come. The Son of Man is coming at an hour. Now that's not talking about 9 a.m. in the morning. It's not talking about 12 midnight. Hour here is talking about a particular time when he decides that it's time to come. Could be any moment, could be any hour. So there's no need for you to get a prophecy from the Lord that he's coming at 10 o'clock and you be living real good from 10 to 11. Then he doesn't show up till 12:01 and you say, well, not today, so I can live it up. It's not what he's talking about. There's a general time when he is going to come. And he is preparing his disciples. You need to get ready for it. This warning of readiness is found in the 24th chapter and the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Records Christ's prophecy of his return and the end of the age. We are living in what some people call the age of grace. And so this age is winding down. It's coming to a closure. And Jesus is giving these prophecies about his return. This recording of the words of Jesus are known as his Olivet Discourse. He's on the Mount of Olives. The disciples come to him and ask him some questions. They've been in the temple worshiping God the Father, and they come out of the temple and they're on the Mount of Olives. Now, if you go to Jerusalem, you go to the site of the temple, you can look out from the highest point in Jerusalem where the temple stood, and you can look out across the wall of the eastern gate. You can see the Mount of Olives. The whole grove of olive trees. I've been there. Some of those trees are thousands of years old. Some of them are all gnarled and twisted. But I've been there on Mount Olive. And if you're standing on Mount Olive, you can look over across the eastern gate. And you can see that high point where now the Dome of the Rock stands. But that's where the temple was. And Jesus and his disciples had come out of that temple, and they walked, no doubt, down through the eastern gate and up the Mount of Olives. And so they sat down and they've been looking at this magnificent temple. These two chapters deal with three great subjects. And all three subjects are yet in the future, as Christ spoke them. They hadn't happened yet. He was prophesying. Number one was the destruction of Jerusalem. There it stood in all of its splendor. There was the Herodian temple in all of its beauty and splendor. And Jesus says to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Secondly, he tells them the Lord's return will take place. Now, in order for him to return, he was there. In order for him to return, he had to leave. And we've read that story, haven't we? Where he went up from their presence in the cloud of Shekinah glory. And they stood there gazing up into heaven, and the angels came and said, this same Jesus is coming back again. Well, Jesus told them right here that he would return. And then thirdly, he discussed with them the end of the world. The end of the age. Let's take a quick look at the destruction of Jerusalem. Matthew 24, verse 2. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came up to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now there it stands in all of its splendor. This magnificent temple built by Herod. Built out of white marble and plated with gold. My. It was a massive structure that could hold thousands of people. And the temple had several porches, such as Solomon's porch and the royal porch. Each porch was supported with huge towering pillars, each one so large that it would take three or four men, Brother Nolan, Brother Sherman, Brother Stan, Eric, stand up there and make a circle. Fingertip to fingertip. That Brother Sherman in there. Stretch out as far as you can. Make it round. That's how big the pillars were. Each pillar that supported that porch. And there were many of them. White marble plated with gold. Thank you, brethren. How many of you think you could lift an inch of that? And Jesus, standing there looking at this splendor of a place erected to worship Jehovah God, says to his apostles, to his disciples, not one stone. Not one stone. Josephus said about this building, there were, some of the stones were 94 feet long. This church is 70 feet long from front to back. Add 24 more feet to it. You'll be out in the parking lot. One stone that long, 24 feet long, 10 and a half feet high, higher than the ceiling. 10 and a half feet. Can you imagine using a stone that big and building a building to the temple of God? Wow. 13 feet wide. It's that high. It's that long. And it comes clear out to here. One solid stone. And Jesus had the audacity to say to his apostles, not one stone will be left here on another. There were 162 columns as big as what we saw here. And they held up the porches that were 52 feet high. Are you getting a general idea of what this place was? And here stands Jesus declaring unto his apostles the total destruction. Matter of fact, listen to what Micah said in Micah chapter 3 and verse 12. He said, therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house as the high places of the forest. Total destruction, Micah says, is coming. And Jesus reiterates it here. And it happened. Jesus said this before it happened. And 70 AD, 30 some years after Jesus spoke these words, it took place. The Roman general Titus rode in with the legions of Roman soldiers, and they besieged the city of Jerusalem. And when they were finished, they had totally torn it down, and you could plow. The prophecy of Christ concerning the future came true, just as he said. It seemed impossible. The disciples, the apostles, listening to Jesus talking, I can imagine if I were standing there and he was saying this to me, I'd say, how is that possible? I mean, look how big these rocks are. Look how immense this temple is. It's built by Herod. Who in the world? What kind of force? What kind of power? But some of these same disciples saw it happen. Came to Jerusalem later in their life, 30 some years later, and here it was, destroyed, totally annihilated, taken apart. I'm telling you what Jesus prophesies, you better listen to. It's going to happen. Secondly, upon hearing Christ's prophecy about the temple destruction, the apostles asked Jesus two questions. Number one, when will the temple be destroyed? And we know that the answer was 70 AD and that it was within their generation. And then, what will be the sign? The second question was, what will be the sign of your coming, Jesus, and of the end of the world? Now, Christ directed their attention away from any kind of a timetable. You know, we kind of every now and then we get people running around here, some holy prophets saying the Lord has shown them, you do these figures and those figures, and they got a special word from the Lord that the Lord is coming on that February the 4th, 1916. Praise the Lord. I'll be out of here on my birthday. Huh? What am I to do about these fellows? What am I to... As soon as you hear that kind of prophecy, mark them down as a false prophet. Because the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. So Jesus turns their direction away from a timetable. And instead, he gives them signs that will occur before the events. Signs that point toward his return and the end of the world. Signs that will point toward his coming, his parousia, the personal and visible appearance of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah! I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? The angel said to the apostles as he stood gazing up, "This same Jesus shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." And I'm telling you that what Jesus is saying here about his return, it will come. His parousia will be a personal and visible reappearance. There will be two appearances. Number one is called the rapture. Christ's personal coming in the air. Not to the earth. In the rapture, Jesus will not touch the earth. He will not come down completely to earth. He will stop in the air to gather the saints and take them to heaven with him. How many's in on this?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Nathan, I didn't see you raise your hand. You in on this? All right. I just want to check. I want my grandson gone, amen? As well as the rest of the family. Praise the Lord. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him."
Amen.
Sister Sharon, Sister Ruth takes off in a week, 2 weeks, month, whatever. She's coming back with him. Woo! Hallelujah. Brother and Sister Shiflett, Brother and Sister Wynn Pigler, Dad Ernest Lay and Zelda Lay and Henry Early and Ethel Early and all of the Brother Baker and all of the saints of God that have already gone, they're coming back with him.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, I got page 2 ahead of page 3 ahead of page 1. God will bring with him those saints. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that you and I, we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not in any way hinder them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend with a shout. Oh, from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Glory.
Oh, hallelujah. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That's as high as I could get. Together with the Lord, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Are you ready for the rapture?
Yes. Yes.
Want you to listen to this. Keep that scripture up there, Emily. What he says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Oh, hallelujah. This is the first event of Christ's appearance. The supreme majesty of the universe. The Lord Jesus Christ in person. Oh, the Son of God who sits on the right hand of God the Father. He who walked on the water. Hallelujah. Cast out devils. Healed the lame. Caused the dead to rise. He who spoke as never any other man spoke with authority. He who has all power in heaven and in earth, the Lord himself shall descend. Woo, give him a praise. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've seen this. I think it's an ad for Progressive Insurance. The what? No, no. That's another sermon, but no. Won't be any locusts the size of horses. There will be locusts. And they bite. And I don't want to be around here. Amen. Glory. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. That means he'll get up from his place at the Father's right hand. That's where he's sitting right now. By the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you. He's going to go away.
Come up here, chair.
Yes, Sister Nola, I hear your request. Oh, yes, Sister Nola. I'd like to hear that praise that you make to me. Tell me the old story. Yeah, I hear all of the saints from all over the world. Father, you know these needs. I commend them to you. What was that, Father? Time to go?
Whoop! 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 Hallelujah!
Gonna rise up out of the throne by the right hand of the Father and come down from heaven. That heavenly planet is gonna leave wherever that heavenly planet is. He will come through the universe, through the Milky Way, past Pluto, Jupiter, and Mars. He'll wave on the way by Mars at those astronauts that are living up there. He will soar past past Earth's moon and past Earth's space station. Hallelujah. And he'll come to a screeching halt about cloud level 30,000 feet. Hallelujah. And when he does, he's going to shout in all of his array of pomp and glory and majesty. He will shout. This is not just any shout. This is a military command. A cry of incitement. An order. The commander-in-chief of the universe commanding the dead saints, hallelujah, to rise up out of the earth, and the living saints to be transformed and to unite with him in the clouds. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I hope and pray when he comes, I'm having a funeral in the graveyard, and I'm about ready to make the commitment. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to have, well, woo, hallelujah. You talk about a time. Yeah, I'm not leaving right away. You see, I'm standing there. The dead saints are coming out first. Glory to God. And I see the ground start shaking over yonder. I see things begin to pop out of the graves and gravestones toppling over. And hallelujah. And I see Brother Henry over there. And I see Brother Lay over there. And I see Brother Baker. Hallelujah. They're all coming up out of the ground. And I'm feeling the earth shaking. And I'm going to say to those standing there in the casket, hey, I'm about ready to leave. Yeah. Are you ready to go?
Yeah.
Glory.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You talk about a command. I used to teach school. When I walk in the class, I'd look around the class and find who the troublemaker was. I knew I'd take care of him first. Usually always a him. Yeah. And I had my cowboy boots on and I'd walk and step kind of heavy, you know. Walk around the classroom keeping my eye on him. And I'd walk up alongside him and just stand there. And just look at him. Never bat an eye, just look at him. You know, at first he'd think, yeah, I'm cool. I'll take care of this dude. And he'd look at him and say, what are you at? I don't say a word, I just look at him. I see he's getting nervous. I said, do you and I have an understanding? You're going to behave yourself in this class today. You hear me? Yes, sir. I've been on the army base and I've heard those commands. I've been to Arlington National Cemetery and been standing there on the steps watching the changing of the guard. And I've seen the little kid slip under the chain and thinking, I'm going to test this sentry out. I've heard that sentry without batting an eye, without turning around, snap a command. Leave the premises right now. He left. My ear's getting ready.
All right.
The shout is going to come.
Yes.
There's going to be an order. An order like no other order. Hallelujah. And when he speaks, come forth.
Yes.
Hallelujah. The dead shall rise first. Then you and I, which are alive and remain, we're going to leave the gravity of this old earth and begin to rise toward heaven. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Carrie, get ready to go up. You won't ride an airplane here now, but I'm telling you, honey, you're going up. I want to be right alongside of you. Woo! Is it? How you doing now, Carrie? Hallelujah. No sooner does Jesus give the command until the archangel, chief angel, that's who the archangel is. In Jude 1 and 9, he's called Michael. The archangel, the angel above all the billions of other angels that God has created. The chief potentate of heaven who answers directly to the Son. No doubt a call for all the angels to come and give honor to Christ. I can almost hear it now. As the saints are going up, I can hear that heavenly chorus of angels say, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The heavens are full of His glory, and the earth is full of His honor." And right after the call of the archangel, the voice of the archangel, comes the trump of God. Oh, Nathan, I wanted you to keep that horn. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ah, you should have blowed a trumpet blow here. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. Looking back to 108 Bear Drive, no. I'm not looking back to Emmanuel Chapel, no. My eyes are pasted on the heavens. I'm headed for glory. Hallelujah. How many are ready to go? Are you ready to go? I said, are you ready to go? Hallelujah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, are you ready to go? Amen. If you're ready to go, stand up. Hallelujah. I'm ready to hear the sound of His voice. I'm ready for the command. I'm ready for the archangel. I'm ready for the trumpet. Amen. Lord, let's go. Come on, saints. Gather around this altar this morning. Come, let's have a talk with Jesus. Let's have a time with the Lord. Lord, if there's anything I need to get right, if there's anything I need to get right, Lord, I want to get it right now. Oh, Jesus. I want to be ready. I want to be right. Lord, I want to do what's right. I want to know that I'm ready to go. Hallelujah.